The Secretary of State, James Brokenshire, has fired a warning at Stormont's MLAs over pay. He said, quote, "We will need to consider carefully a range of other issues reflecting public concern, including whether it can continue to be justified to pay Assembly members who have not met for several months now." But is James Brokenshire the Secretary of State? At the end of the day, he's your Secretary of State, if you view him and respect him as that. Is he tough-talking enough? No deadline from him. No ultimatums. While you're sitting on hospital waiting lists, while your kids are sitting with a pressure on the education system, he might just consider the pay of the politicians who could be sorting it out. Some of Northern Ireland's public services are at breaking point. And as usual, it'll be working class people who feel the pain the most. 03030 80 55 55. Chance for you today to send a message to all of the MLAs in Northern Ireland and indeed to the Secretary of State, James Brokenshire. What do you think should happen next? What are you experiencing in terms of public services here in Northern Ireland? We've really heard in the news the pressures that there are now on the education system. Think about how that affects many, many families in Northern Ireland. We know of the pressures on the health service. Think of how that affects nearly everybody that hasn't got the money to buy private care. 03030 80 55 55. In the central discussion today, meanwhile, the MLAs continue to take their pay. Meanwhile, Brokenshire, the Secretary of State, he continues to pay them. 03030 80 55 55. Former MLA Basil McRae with us today. Should the pay continue, Basil?
Well, I think they're going to have to do something. It can't go on indefinitely like this. But
it can, and it is going on indefinitely.
Well, we're in a situation where there's a stalemate, and unless you do something to break the stalemate, then quick, literally, it stays as it is. And I do think that reducing people's pay will actually force people to come to some sort of accommodation.
It's currently costing taxpayers in Northern Ireland £12,205 per day to employ our MLAs who are not doing what the title suggests, member of a legislative assembly. 12 grand a day.
It's not really the sum of money, though. It's to do with an individual. I can tell you that if you were to reduce rather than stop the pay, it will have a really serious effect on people without actually giving them huge, total distress. And I think that's the thing you've got to look for, that some MLAs, of course, will want to go back to work. They'll say, well, why shouldn't I be paid? Because it's not me that's holding it up. But we've got to have to do something with the system. You certainly can't carry on with just paying people while they sit there doing nothing.
03030 80 55 55. Alan McQuillan with us today as well. Good morning to you, Alan.
Good morning.
Former Assistant Chief Constable. You sat in the Independent Review Panel who set MLA pay. Their money continues. The health service for many people in Northern Ireland, it doesn't continue insofar as they sit on a waiting list. The education system now under acute stress. Meanwhile, the pay and the top rates of pay continue.
It's not just the money in the public services. It's the fact that these public services need to be managed. We know that the health service needs radical restructuring to be able to cope. We have had multiple reports about that, and none of our politicians want the responsibility of having to do that, because there's going to be some places where hospitals have to be changed or changes need to be made that's going to annoy small sections of voters, and our politicians don't take difficult decisions. But it's not just about the money. It's about actually reforming that and delivering effective public services. And we need to get on and do that. Otherwise, we'll have a situation continuing where I gather some waiting lists are now 5 years. Many people will die before they'll see a consultant in some cases.
Yeah. And that says it all, doesn't it, Basil?
Yeah. The matter is that the MLAs pay, and I know how hard some MLAs work. Many of them work.
And they're still doing constituency business, of course.
Well, they are, but what is constituency business? Constituency business Some cases it's representing people, but a large part of it revolves around facilitating people's entry to the benefit system. That's good enough work, but you know that's not what they're primarily paid for. They're paid to run the government of Northern Ireland and to hold the executive that runs that government to account, and that's what's not happening. Nobody is running the government other than the civil service, and nobody is holding the people running it to account.
And meanwhile, we still don't know what the Irish Language Act would contain. We still don't know the precise details of what would be in it, what is or isn't acceptable to the DUP. When we asked Sinn Féin to let us see what their list of proposals are for this Irish Language Act, which is one of the major stumbling blocks now to restore a government in Northern Ireland, they said that that's not for public consumption. They pointed us to Carl McCullen's list of proposals, within which there is affirmative action, for example, for the civil service. That's still in there. The demand from Sinn Féin that Arlene Foster steps aside during the course of the RHI inquiry, steps aside from putting herself forward to the office of First and Deputy First Minister, that still stands. That has not been publicly retracted from Sinn Féin. The ultimatum from Arlene Foster that there will never be an Irish Language Act under her watch, that still publicly stands. And meanwhile, they're in talks. How's that circle going to be squared? And meanwhile, you are waiting. Meanwhile, your public services are being affected. And meanwhile, the pay continues. First call of the day, Patrick. Morning, Patrick.
Good morning indeed, Stephen. Stephen, I hear the programme, I hear it all. But do you not realise that the DUP is sitting with a full hand of poker? They're sitting there and they know they have Theresa May by the short and curly. She can't take the wages of them. She needs them. She can't have them 10 MPs rebelling against her. She's dead in the water. So I don't see anybody losing wages. It may even go on for the next year or so.
Well, if the DUP does, as you say, have them by the short and curlies, then where's our money? Where's our £1 billion that was promised to Northern Ireland? The DUP don't have the leverage so far to get the money delivered to Northern Ireland. It's not delivered. It's not there.
Stephen, do you know that Bitcoin they talk about, you never see money? That's the way this is all working here. They're playing with people's minds. They're driving us mad. But at the end of the day, you think it over, they're never going to stop their wages. I sit here and listen every day. And then the other two, we'll talk about the one you talked about, Sinn Féin asking for the All-Ireland and the Irish Act and DUP claiming for Scots. That's all pie in the sky. That's to keep them going and going. It's just a sickening, like we call it, pantomime going on with our minds here in Northern Ireland. But definitely, if I could get a bet with William Hill or somebody, there's no way they're going to lose that money. It didn't. But if the foot was on, if the shoe was on another foot, and she didn't have to worry about the DUP.
And meanwhile, listen to this.
Yeah.
And let's get all of your reaction to this morning. The Treasury solicitor who heads up the government's legal department has said no timetable has been set for the making of such payments. What payments? Are £1 billion in funding promised to the DUP by Theresa May?
Yeah.
So no timetable has been set for making such payments.
Well,
so the Tory government continue to have DUP support. The Tory government continues to be propped up by the DUP. Meanwhile, no timetable has been set for paying the money out. And on top of that, the Treasury solicitor who heads up the government's legal department says that it will have appropriate parliamentary authorization.
Even,
so it needs the authorization of Parliament as well.
Again, it's like talking about the Bitcoin. You'll never see the money. It's just, they're taking the Michael or the Northern Ireland people, and we deserve it. The whole of them is just playing with us and playing with our minds. It's awful high, but we have to go on with it because
we haven't asked them yet, to be fair to them, to make it clear.
Really?
So we will go to the DUP now and we'll give them time to respond. And the simple question is, how come there's no timetable? We'll ask this question of the DUP. How come there is no timetable for the £1 billion promise to Northern Ireland? Not even a timetable.
Stephen, you've asked them that days before. That's played out, that one with the Ammons. They just go round in circles.
And meanwhile, with the EU...
The people in Northern Ireland round in circles as well.
Meanwhile, by the way, with the EU referendum bill, guess who the Tories need the support of? The DUP. The DUP will be weighing in behind the Tories this morning, today, with the EU referendum bill. But are the Tories reciprocally coming in behind the DUP and saying, well, look, here's a timetable for the money? Answer, not yet.
Stephen, what about the one with the two DUP still with a nurse? Did you get them extra money and at the same time vote away the Tory Parliament to keep the 1%? So the whole thing is laughable. But we are the idiots in Northern Ireland. We're just sitting here, idiots.
Basil McRae?
Well, I think the more serious problems with Alan McGrillan brought up that said, how do you get a functioning executive here? There are lots and lots of decisions that have to be made that are not being made. No DUP or Sinn Féin person is going to vote to close their hospital in their area or do other serious issues. And yet, without that, you are not going to be able to fix this shortfall in the income. And to be honest with you, although £1 billion sounds like an awful lot of money, it's not really significant when you look at it over a 10-year cycle. The big challenge for our part of the world is we've got to find some way of getting the system to work. And I have to say, as I look at it now, the system is not going to work. It will not work. It doesn't matter whether you pay them or you don't pay them. They cannot find a way of reaching common agreement on anything. And that's the real tragedy. This place is going nowhere.
Lembit Opik joining us this morning, obviously a former MP. Good morning to you, Lembit.
Good morning, sir.
You wouldn't stop their pay. Why not?
I wouldn't stop it because let's get to the big picture here. The status quo, the paralysis is still better than what we had before. Whether people like that or not, it's got to be a fact. And let's remember, we ended up in this situation due to the historic tensions between political parties, which are shouting at each other instead of shooting at each other. To me, it's worth paying the MLAs to maintain that status quo. Now, let's get to the brass tacks, Steve. What you started with is by asking whether Mr. Brokenshaw has the gumption to stop the pay. He probably hasn't. But I happen to say, if I was in his position, I would do the same. I probably wouldn't pretend to think about stopping the pay. I probably wouldn't pretend that, because aside from the pragmatic point that the DUP could pull down the government, and I think that's a fair point, the bigger issue here is that the MLAs are still maintaining a kind of peace, a messy one, but a kind of peace that we didn't have before all of this started. Now, bear in mind, and I disagree with Mr. McQuillan on one point here, the majority of the work isn't sitting in the chamber. I just disagree with that. I don't think that's true. The majority of the work you do as a full-time politician is working at the constituency level. That's what local people notice. They don't come up to you and shake your hand for a great speech you made in the chamber. They say, thank you for getting my benefits. Thank you for sorting my
house. But that's not what you're elected for, is it? That's not what you're elected for.
Well, no, I disagree. That's a theological point. You can hold a different view, but I disagree with you.
Hold on, let's let Basil respond.
You may well do good constituency work. But the fundamental issue is, are you passing legislation? Are you giving the amount of money to the departments so they can function? Are you doing your job? The fact that you're doing the icing on the cake, the frills around the edge that get you re-elected, all well and good, but you're not doing what you're elected to do, and therefore the big question is, should you be paid? And I have to say to you, Olympic, if you carry on like this, you end up with a system that does not work. The system is broken, and unless you reform the system, you will not get Northern Ireland back on its feet.
Right. First of all, you can take that view if you want. I simply don't. To stress, to me, the number one thing, and I'm talking from personal experience, the number one thing that I felt I was elected to do was to represent the 65,000 people or so in my constituency. I was leader of the National Party in Wales that I was a member of, and I even then thought that was less important than what I did day in, day out for the local folks. Now, let's look at what you're saying. Those decisions are not being made. You are absolutely on the money. You're right, the government part isn't happening, but we've got a nasty alternative to that, and that is Brokenshaw and his pals in Westminster. No one ever pretended that this peace process was going to be quick or going to be tidy. I will live with this fudge. And you know, we can have a go at Brokenshaw, and we can have a go at the MLAs. But there's clearly a tussle here
But both you're advocating a return to direct rule. You realise that?
If you're no, I'm not advocating to it. I'm saying that that's the default position while we get through this mess.
You don't want the elected representatives to make the decisions. We want them to sit there and do good work to help people, as Alan McCullen was saying, to go through the benefit system. But we don't want them to make the tough decisions. That was the whole.
That's not the reason.
That was the whole.
Hang on, whoa. That's a complete misunderstanding of the
problem. Not Westminster should be doing it. It should be those people that we elect, and they should be able to work together to make the decision.
And the bigger, the bigger story, to be quite frank, in my view this morning, is that we waken up today now with the knowledge after the campaigner, Gina Miller, we're going to hear from her shortly, has challenged this. This £1 billion in funding promised to the DUP by Theresa May, we now hear that there's not even a timetable to deliver that money. There's no deadline. That's a story in itself. We now hear that it will also now require parliamentary authorisation. That's a story in itself. I thought the DUP, and this is no criticism of the DUP, but I thought the DUP had definitely secured that.
Right, they hadn't, and they never did. If you look at what was promised, it was a non-specific promise, and you could tell from the start that it was dodgy. And I think that probably one way or another...
That's not dodgy.
...that money. Yeah, well, it's dodgy as a promise because it wasn't time-limited, it wasn't specific, and it wasn't explicitly allocated. And if you don't do that in politics, then essentially it's an aspiration, it's not a promise. But there's a difficulty here. What we've got, and what everyone seems to forget, is that we essentially have a lot of left-leaning, socially left-leaning parties in Northern Ireland. The DUP and Sinn Féin are extremely similar when it comes to social policy. They both want the £1 billion. They both resent the fact that the government's not giving it to Northern Ireland. So that's the one thing. But let's not mix this up. There's the one debate about whether the MLA should be paid or not for the paralysis situation that we've got there in Northern Ireland. And I'm saying yes, because it's better than the alternative. There's the other question about the £1 billion. That would be a phone in all in itself, Steve. But it's not the same thing. There could be that the government could excuse themselves for not paying the money by saying, well, as long as the Assembly's not sitting and doing its job, we're not going to give the money. They might even say that. But it's still a different story. The question is, are we better off giving about £4 million a year in salaries to the MLAs, even when they're not sitting in the chamber? I'm saying yes. Others are saying no. And your listeners have to make their call.
Now, it's very unlikely, of course, that there's not going to be parliamentary authorisation, if you think about it, with the numbers that the Tory party and the DUP have combined. But the bottom line is there's no timetable for us in this country getting the money that was promised to us. Ken, morning to you, Ken.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Go ahead, Ken.
Well, I only phoned in to make the very, very obvious point that, you know, if you or I signed up to do a job and then woke up one morning and said, no, actually, I don't fancy doing it today. Well, we wouldn't expect to get these people have asked to be elected to do a job and then have turned up and said, oh, by the way, we're not willing to do this job.
Well, some of the MLAs, of course, is beyond them, isn't it? This is structurally at the above their heads at the top.
It may well be, but every individual MLA signed a form saying, yeah, I wish to be elected to this post. They've taken my vote and done nothing for me.
During the last suspension of the Assembly...
If you don't want to do your job, don't go and do your job.
So let's remind ourselves what happened. It was 2002, during the last suspension of the Assembly, MLAs had their pay reduced by 30%, from £41,000 down to £28,700. Vera, morning, Vera.
I just want to put a question to the two gentlemen, Basil and Lembit. Do they not think that maybe a neutral voice chairing those talks would be the best way forward? And I also think that the pays should now be halved. That's what happens after, say, a pregnancy, a lady often pregnant there or anything like that. Your pay's halved halfway through, and they've been months and months doing very little.
Well, it's been 6 months since the election now, hasn't it? Go ahead, Basil.
Well,
Well, I certainly agree that a reduction in pay is preferable to, you know, completely stopping it. I think that there are people, you know, through no fault of their own, are sort of caught up in that, and you can't do that. But you have to put some sort of pressure on, and so a reduction, as you outlined, you know, happened before, I think that's the right way forward. Because ultimately, if you can't get people back to work, you know, you're going to have to do something. As to the other point about should we have an independent broker, I actually think that's the real tragedy of the peace process, is that in the past, we've had lots of people that were trying to sort out our problems for us. We had the Americans, we had the Irish, we had the British. Everybody came in and said, we'll try and work this out, or we'll try and think of a way to let you save face. What you've actually got now is that we're left to try and do it on our own. And quite frankly, I think we're failing. I cannot see how you can get various political parties off the hooks that they put themselves on. I can't see how you would reach an agreement where at the end of it, people said, you know what, that was hard, but now we've all made up and we're going to carry on and take even more hard decisions on the way forward about closing hospitals or whatever, which they're probably going to have to do. I just don't see the goodwill and the togetherness there anymore. I think it's gone. I think the fractious period is now.
Why? You know the political system in Northern Ireland very well, Basil. Why do you think the DUP is not saying to the Conservative Party, you set a deadline by which time we get our £1 billion promise in Northern Ireland, or we're withdrawing the confidence and supply support that we're using to prop up the government? Why is the DUP not insisting on a deadline?
Well, there's two issues for them. The biggest one politically will be, if they were to bring the Conservative government down, the chances of a Labour victory at the next general election would be quite significant. And Labour, of course, would have a different opinion on the union than the Conservatives. And I just don't think they can take that risk. And if you want to take the other point, is the £1 billion. It's likely that that money will be drawn on demand as, you know, as it's required, the money will be found. The big problem with our health service, fantastic service that it is that we do have people becoming older, which is a good thing, of course. People are living longer, but it becomes more expensive to look after people as they get older. And unless you have structural reform, as they've had to go through in England, then you can't really cope with that. And they're not going to bite that bullet. They're going to get the money as they need it, but it's going to be a long-term
problem. Alan McQuillan?
Well, one other thing is I just threw under the mix here. This week, the CPI inflation index will be published for 2017, and all the MLAs will get another £500 a year pay raise payable for next April. So there's another little bit going on.
They'll have another pay rise confirmed to
this week.
This week?
Yeah. The CPI is due to be published at the end of this week, and they get another £500 because inflation is currently running about 2.6%.
And how do you think this is going to go down with people in Northern Ireland?
Well, I think people are fed up, and I've listened to the discussions there. I mean, I would really like our government to be up and running and functioning, but it isn't. And therefore, I think what we're seeing at the moment is we had some interesting mood music last week between Sinn Féin and the DUP, but and the Secretary of State, it has to be said. But it's all about blame avoidance. I've been watching these political manoeuvres for the last 30 years, and they're all trying to avoid blame for the collapse when it happens. And that's all we're seeing at the moment. They're shuffling about amongst each other, pretending that they're making concessions, that they want to be reasonable people, so that when the collapse happens, they can say it was all Eamon's fault.
That's an interesting point. And I think now you're onto something here. I don't personally believe the public really give tuppence about whether the MLAs get paid or not. They probably resent the fact that MLAs have been paid at all, but they don't care really if MLAs are not being paid. They do care about the £1 billion. Maybe if the government was smart, they'd say, you get your house in order in Northern Ireland, we'll do a deal about the £1 billion. That would be a bigger incentive. But
But if Basil McRae, this £1 billion is being held back as a political chip, as a political leveraging chip, then people should realise that therefore means that real human lives are part of that political bargaining game. The real lives that could be affected by that £1 billion, which Brokenshire could release to Northern Ireland, which the Tory party could put a deadline on releasing, that is not coming to people who desperately need it in Northern Ireland, to the public services that could really, really deal with it at the moment. So it's all very well saying, oh, well, this is clever leveraging by the Tories. But real people are being affected by this.
Yes, make no mistake about it, that if you delay the money coming through, then the waiting lists are going to get longer. And not only are some people going to die on the waiting list that might have been treated earlier, but everybody that's on that waiting list is going to suffer in pain, and they'll have distress. Their families will be like, this is not a trivial matter. This is a real, real problem. But the
So therefore, there's a very simple, straight question to the DUP this morning, isn't there? How long are you going to allow the Tories to keep the money away from Northern Ireland for while continuing to prop them up? How long are you going to allow them to do it?
We now know
today that there is no timetable to bring that money promised to Northern Ireland here. Is that acceptable?